It's 4:05, Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, and we have Dan on the teleconference, and Jeff Hammer, okay? All right, Jim?
Yep. I thought we would, before we get back into the Africa Control, I thought I would, there were some questions last time about projected harvest and things, so I was going to go through our stock assessment and at least show you what we see coming for next year for the season, so, and then we'll get back into the Africa Control. This is just an overview of the areas that are going to open with a quick little schematic on where they are as far as depleted, declining, or stable. And you see the two stable areas of James and Great Wicomico, and most of the other areas are declining. The upper Rappahannock is pretty much gone. It's depleted for this year, so won't be recommending opening that area. As far as the projection, and I'm going to go through each of these areas on their own, I mean, the bottom line there is that looking at the harvest that we saw this past year was 177,000 at the hand scrape, and it will probably be estimated around 130, and the dredge will go from 73,000 to 30,000. And that's based on, you know, both the stock assessment I'm going to show you and the size of the areas, because the areas change and how much areas there is to harvest. Starting with Tangier and Pocomoke, this area, this year we're going to be doing rotation area one. And this just shows you, at least for last year, what it looked like for when we were in area two, the bushels that, through the season. You can see it, you know, stood up pretty well, actually, compared to some of the other areas. Lasted most of the season, was still some production. That's the number of trips on the same area. But the area we're going in this year is this one, which is not as good. The red at the top of this, the reddish orange, that's the markets. This area has got about not quite two market oysters per meter as an average, where last year you can see how much bigger the markets were in area two. I mean, we had more than about 10 per acre. So we're starting out probably as low as we ended up last year for the number of oysters there are per meter in an area. Part of that is because our culture has been declining up there. We did quite a bit of planning up there this year, but you know, should we get a good set, it's going to take a while for it to come back. So we put a big part of our shells this year in area one of the Tangier Pocomoke. So that's that's the guess that we come up with for what the harvest will be. Less than half of last year, just based on the number of oysters there are per meter, as well as there's not as many areas of ground that we take care of in area one. For the Great Wicomico, it looks a little bit better there. You can see right here the scale is different because we always have more oysters in the Great Wicomico. We get better spat set in that area. And so we have more than 10 oysters per meter there, which is about where we were last year. So when you look at the number of bushels of markets out there and knowing that some of these smalls are going to become markets, we'll do as well in the Great Wicomico this year as we did last year. Since we did move some seed in there off some of the core sanctuary areas that had to be cleaned up, and that may help a little bit, but I don't think a lot of them are not going to make it to market size this year. But so the 15,000 is about what we caught last year. The estimate that it'll be about the same in the Great Wicomico. In the Rappahannock, last year we did area one and area six. This year we're doing area three and area five. This shows the harvest in the Rappahannock last year. It went down much faster than the harvest went down in Tangier Pocomoke. Trips went down. In area five, you can see Again, we have a fair amount of market orchards there. So just look over real quick to where we were last year with Area 1. They're very similar in the amount of market orchards there are. The only difference is Temple Bay, Area 5, doesn't have as many acres of bars in it as Area 1 had. So it'll be, the harvest will be down because there's not as many acres to harvest from. Area 3 has a much smaller area to harvest from. We do have markets there, so you know, there'll be some to catch there, but and then the area way up the 7 and 8, we're not even going to open because they're just so depleted and haven't had any spats set up there, so we have to just wait for something to come back there on its own. But just in general, maybe 60% of the harvest next year that we saw last year.
The last meeting, Jim, you had said you were going to go Area 2 and 5.
Yeah, but we should stay with 3. I looked at it. I mean, we had flip-flopped a couple of them because we had 1 year with a lot in Area 4, and it kind of got off sequence. But originally when we started off, we were 3 and 3 was with 5, and we have newer shells in Area 2, so if we give them one more year, there'll be a little bit more there than for. So we should just stay with Area 3. Mobjack is actually only has, there's a lot of private in Mobjack, and the areas that we harvest are just this little area called Toe Steak and this little area called Fossil Bar. We're working on building Brown Bay up, but so far the shelf line up there has not gotten great sets, so isn't much to catch out there. Versus where we were last year when we had Area 1 for the York. Area 1 is a much bigger area than what we have to go to in Mobjack. And this is what we saw in the York. Even though we caught 29,000 bushels, you know, it went down really quick in less than a month. That's the trips. And this is what Mobjack looks like. I mean, we're just a very, very small number of markets out there. And even if a lot of these smalls go into the harvestable amount, I mean, I'm putting 5,000 down for the harvest there, but it will be really lucky if we catch 5,000 bushels out of the York, I mean, out of Mobjack versus the almost 30,000 out of the York. And then the James, is again, one of the areas that's staying pretty stable. This is the harvest last year. It held up fairly well, both in bushels caught and trips. And you can see on the markets in the lower James, you know, we are at least holding our own there. We've built the culture up a little bit there by the planting over the last 4 years, and there's a fairly good amount of smalls coming. So it looks like the amount of market orchards will be just about the same this year as it was last year. So we were around 75,000, so we ought to be 75,000 again out of that river. So when you total all those up, that's where we came up with the projected amount for this season coming, which is about 73% of the hash grape and 41% for the dredge, which all of it together is about 60% of what it was last year. So any questions on that?
Would it make sense to go to a 2 3/4 inch cull in Mobjack?
No, because it's not the cull that's the issue there. It's just not that many orchards. I mean, we went through 2 or 3 years with just no set there. And then we finally got a little bit of a set the year before last, and then a little teeny bit more set last year, but it's just, and I don't know, I think they get pinged on throughout the year by patent bombing and stuff. I don't know, it just don't seem like we can accumulate them there.
Mm-hmm. But it is, I know 6, 7, 8 years ago, you know, Pulse's Ball was pretty good for 2 or 3 years there, yeah.
One year when we did the platinum, we just lucked into a really good set.
Yep.
We when we did the planting. But the shells aren't as good as they were.
Right.
Just not a lot of us. You know, some years we even have a hard time getting enough for our disease tests there.
Okay. Jim, Great Wacomico, when is that scheduled to open?
December.
December, okay. For 2 months, December, January.
So, Jim, the number of markets that you're showing in here, projected markets, I guess, for this coming season, how does that compare to the number of markets that would be in the areas that were very productive last year? Was there an assessment done after the season about the number of markets?
Not after the season. That's why I showed you on a couple of the ones the year before. You can look at, like in the Rappahannock, we're about the same as we started last year in the number of oysters per meter. And I showed on for Tangier also that it was much more last year than when we were starting off there.
Yeah, so starting off, would you say there are areas, though, that even though it breaks maybe the rotation, that would have a higher abundance of markets left in it? From
there's more markets in Area 2 right now than we're going to start off with in Area 1.
So would it make sense to go back to those areas?
not as there's no smalls coming at it. The refs on these ones, I mean, I wanted to run through these quick. I mean, you know, you can see the little, there'll be a little dip the year after the harvest in the spat and everything just because of harvest damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need those 2 years or 1 year for them to to get the set and the set to get big enough so that the harvesting doesn't seem to bother the small so much, but it does bother the spat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we'll just get back into talking about the effort control and some way of distributing what, as we see our harvest go down. I mean, harvest is going to be worse next year than this year based on stock assessment. So, I mean, even when we get a set this year, next year is going to be down a little bit farther than this year because there's not very much to catch in Tangier, and we did not get a set there again. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get a great set in Area 1, you know, at least for what the damage it was there. So,
mm-hmm.
So it'll be a little bit lower next year than this year. Probably not greatly lower, but a little bit lower. And the blue here is what we're talking about, where, you know, public harvest and the issues that we've been talking about is as the harvest went up, the use of the dredges and the hand scrapes went up. Last year's harvest was 62% of the total harvest was from the hand scrape and 26% was from the dredge. So you're talking about those two gear types take 88% of our harvest. So the things that we've been talking about for the past several months, I mean, effort control on those two gear types is obviously the what we need to be concentrating on. And again, you know, in all these discussions, we have these choices of reducing effort, and that's to, you know, reduce the licenses, keep the licenses the same, and then get into more complicated things of, you know, quotas or shortened seasons or reduce our catch to 4 bushels or shorten the day or just switch to another gear altogether. So, I mean, it's if you hold everybody in, we've got to reduce the catch. And if you reduce the numbers out there, then we can keep what we're doing relatively similar to what we have been doing, but just a smaller fleet.
Hey, Jim, can I rewind here a little bit on the stock assessment? For the 2014 season, what was your stock assessment and how accurate was it when you did it?
Well, the only thing I do on the stock assessment is very accurate, but we don't do, since we don't check every single piece of bottom in the Greatville Common Code, you know, we can't say exactly what it can be, but I can look at the stock assessment year to year and see how it compares to the harvest, and knowing that there's less, and I know it'll be a little bit less harvest, there's more, I know it'll be a little bit more harvest. But I have to look at both the harvest and the stock assessment at the same time.
I mean, did you do a prediction for the 2014 season on what bushels they would take up?
No. At that time, we didn't
have to.
We were sitting in pretty good shape with.
We were fighting this.
Not as many people, huh?
We were fighting this same exact battle last year.
But we decided not to do anything.
So. Right, and we had a banner year. Yeah. In 14 and 15.
That's the point
you're driving at.
So what was the ratio?
What?
Between what your assessment was and what was actually produced?
I didn't do assessment last year.
Oh.
We did stock assessment last year. And last year the warning was that, you know, we would see it go down because the spat set it going down.
We were going.
Which is what we're seeing now. No, we knew we had stuff to catch last year. That wasn't an issue last year.
So starting in February of last year, we fought this same fight through the whole summer, just the same as we have this year, and then decided not to do anything. So maybe leaving it alone was the right idea, being as the harvest was, again, better than it's been in decades. Even though last year, this time, we were going to be falling off this same cliff.
No, we weren't going to be falling off last year.
Yes,
we were falling off this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't here last year. I'm just asking to see what it was.
So, Jim, do you have more of a presentation, or are you?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to go back and review some of the limited entry from last time that we were talking about where we were.
There was three permits per boat last. Was it in the past? It was like four permits were allowed per boat. Was never been any higher than three.
For last year, it was three. Eight,
okay.
And 24.
So it was reduced from four to three at one time.
At one time.
And that occurred when?
Mm-hmm. Right. 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. And that was 10 bushels, so about 5-6 years ago it was, yeah, max.
Yeah. So we had a much smaller fleet then.
Mm-hmm. Yep, much smaller.
Any other questions for Jim?
Jim and James, that's still scheduled to open November 1st. Yeah. Why is it that the James is not open in October? Is it quality problem there, or I mean, that would leave a lot of pressure on Area 5 in Rappahannock, I know, yeah.
Well, again, it's mm-hmm. the same thing. On mm-hmm. If you want everybody, it'll still close the same place,
mm-hmm.
same time.
You're still looking at 2 month opening or 3 month.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of there'll be months that won't make things
up. Yeah, it's just, you know, just so many boats on a smaller area like Area 5. It's just, I mean, you just ain't gonna be able to work it. I mean, it's just, depending on how many, or if we do cut some of the effort out, I mean, that's still a small place for even 200 boats, much less 300 or 400, you know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just not much available, is it?
And Temples Bay is the only place that will open in October?
Temple Bay and the James Handhold.
Hands Creek.
Handhold.
What's your prediction on how long that'll last? If the fleet of boats that we had last year gets on it.
If the fleet of boat gets on it, it was pretty much done in a month. So last year was more, so mm-hmm. 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Jim, the slide before that you had was reduce the, yeah, okay. You don't have on there going to fewer days per week. Like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or
I mean, that's certainly would be an option for the shorter season length, yeah, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Tommy, is it any predictions on the Gulf this year?
There's a lot of calls.
Mm-hmm. A lot of calls.
It sounds like that some have settled their BP situations and that we're starting to hear from folks we hadn't heard from in a long time.
Okay. I think you might have more of a presence this year, huh?
They have more of a presence now. It's like Rich Katuna, but this is the first year in probably five that we've had market pressure in the summertime from shucked oyster prices in the Gulf.
So that's another thing. The more pressure we get from the Gulf, the less we're going to get for the oysters, yeah.
This may be impossible to know, but the last time we had a 60% of last year's harvest, can we know the number of boats that were working at that point? So 60% of the 170,000. What I'm trying to figure out is how many boats were we sustaining with that many oysters?
See, we haven't had that kind of drop in modern times.
No, I mean the aggregate number of 60% of 100 and, I mean, when's the last time we had a harvest of what you're predicting for this year?
Oh, I mean,
I can't tell from here.
Right in here. I mean, these past 2 years have been the only 2 years that we've gotten over 200,000. So, I mean, we were back. We'll be back where we were in the
02, 03.
No, we're back where we just were in 2010.
Yeah, 10,
11. Okay. So based on Joe's information from his department, how many hand scrape?
Well, you can sit around. That's when we had about 240.
And we were only requiring one license per boat then.
Yeah.
So that number's probably double, not triple that, but certainly double that.
Yeah. And in the year before that, it was 180, so
say 550.
Yeah.
What was the daily catch limit then?
Eight.
So, I understand you're right, there was just one license on a boat back then, but now there's would be. And you could have three people catch eight, but now you have to have three licenses on a boat to get.
You had to have three commercial cards, but you only had to have one hand scraper dress license.
So now everybody's going to have a license. Mm-hmm. So if you divide that by three and compare it to that, how's that?
Well, there's logging has to do two.
Mm-hmm.
Or by two if you did that.
Yeah, if you only use one. So.
But Joe's reporting number should tell us, because they were reporting in everyone's name on the boat, right? So we would have the number of folks reporting.
We have the number of people reporting as included in all those years that we did from 11 to 14.
So that's the number I'm driving at, is how many people. We didn't have user fees then, so we can't use that as a number. And we don't know how many licenses were on a boat because we weren't requiring multiple licenses. I'm trying to drive at how many licenses or how many limits were we harvesting in 2010.
So it's either two times the amount of licenses or
three times
the amount of licenses compared to what it is now.
Well, now you've got to have a user fee for everybody, so you're capturing that number.
So that's interesting.
It makes it look smaller on paper.
Yeah,
it changes. Smaller.
Yeah, it changes. So that. That distorts the abundance that we're looking at right now compared to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
We're looking at individuals now where that's looking at possibly just looking at one license per boat with more than one individual per boat.
My question is, what amount of licenses can we support on historical numbers based on, I mean, the 50% is, in my mind, way beyond where we need to be to maintain some sort of historical number. I'm trying, from this information, trying to figure out what that number of licenses is, given that we're going, given that it's a bad year. I mean, we're going to have bad years. We can't, you guys can't go through this, and we can't change this every time we predict a bad year, but just some historical average of where we've been.
So that's looking at the boats rather than the license. There might be several licenses on a boat, so.
They're listed at least in the last 2 years. That'd be the best place to start.
I guess what I'm driving at is that number 30%. Is it 25%? Is it 15%? I think it's, you know, somewhere south of 50%, but in keeping in mind what I'm thinking is still having to being able to maintain an 8-bushel limit. I mean, at 4 bushels, that's extremely scary for me, from a producer trying to make it on.
You have to figure out, you have to have your fuel cost, and you have to have a percentage go to the boat, and then you have stuff to get whacked up between the guys, and 4 bushels just doesn't.
Not only that, you're talking about being a less harvest, and 4 bushels, this just ain't going to, it's not going to fly.
No, I concur.
I mean, where we were, you know, we had 381 people that were doing one in 20 days.
So, and then that was 380 people, and that was probably, so 380 people, that was probably 160 boats or 200 boats?
Well, it was, that's averaging more than 20 days a year. Mm-hmm. 381 people average more than 20 days a year for those 4 years.
And if you add back in the number of 20-day people after post control date, do you remember what that number was?
Post control date is 59 more. So when you add the, for like hand scrape licenses, when you add everybody that works more than 20 days together, it's 440, as opposed to half would be 393.
So, Jim, suppose we went to the limited entry concept.
That's what we're
and doing. It sounds like you're figuring on using the control dates of 2011 to 2014.
The control date is after July 1st, 2014.
Okay, that's, but the good data, or the reliable data is 2011.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, it seems to me that logic would say that you eliminate people from that 50% that don't have the good data. So anybody that was in the fishery at, from 2011 to 2014 might be considered to be in the fishery somehow.
Yeah, that's
but anybody before that date would not be able to get it in the fishery, right?
Well, most of them are in.
What do you mean most of them are in?
I mean, most of these people that are working more than 20 days a year, starting 2011, were here. I mean, the core is still in there. that were when we were at lower numbers. They're still in that group from 2011 on.
But I'm sure there are people that would want to be in the fishery. And what about the young people coming out of the schools and so forth? I mean, we need to have some kind of apprentice, some way that they would have some hope of getting in the fishery, if need be, over time or...
Well, I mean, we would have, you know, certainly be, as things improve, we would be considering that and setting that sort of system up.
Why not set it up as now? But
we can once we get some decision on where to go back to.
I mean, you're talking about when you go to limited entry, you know, I was down here for a number of years. You're talking to some complex system that you need to have a handle on up front. And do you have the staff to handle that? In the oyster fishery, it seems like to me it would be a lot more complex than in some of these fisheries like the sea bass and so forth that is under limited entry now. So these are things that you ought to be considering up front.
I think staff's done a pretty good job on...
I'm not questioning what staff's done up to this point. But I'm questioning what they can do from this, once you set that up. Is the staff available to handle this? I mean, that would be terrible for us to get into a system that is set up to fail. And you need to consider, I'm saying you need to consider that. I don't know whether you do or whether you don't, because I haven't stayed in touch with what's going on to that extent. But I know that it's going to take a pretty good-sized staff to handle what goes on in that fishery within limited entry, to be fair to the people and yourselves.
Jim, at 393, that's 50%. So if you added the post control 59, it's where we are at 40.
60,
okay. Yeah.
Well. Yes, ma'am, you have a question?
Yes, sir. I have a question. This year, there was a lot of frozen time, and a lot of people had to re-gear and do other things because they didn't have a way to keep their oysters from freezing. So my question is, to be equitable, you're saying that it worked 20 days, we re-rigged and went fishing because we could not oyster and keep our oysters alive. So therefore, my question to you is, you have to take that into consideration. That drop-off, a lot of it could have been weather-related also. But to get your number that you're asking for, you take the total number of bushels in 2011, 12, or 13, and divide them by the number that's allowable today, you'll get the same number of how many people would be allowable and would sustain. But my question is, did the weather make that change? Or was it actually loss of our resource?
We couldn't even get out of the creek. It was froze up. It was 5-6 inches of ice in Deep Creek Harbor. We couldn't even get out.
Well, that was after. We're not even going in.
So that's not even, that's part of the season was not.
They're not even in the zone.
So that would be.
I've got a question.
Yep.
It seems like to me, I mean, you're trying to limit it or either cut back on your oyster production. Why don't we simply increase the areas that we're working? We have a lot of ground that is workable. You keep decreasing the grounds and you expect all these people to congregate in these small areas and it's just not going to work. I know in the James here, we took 600-700 acres away at the mouth of the Deep Creek over here. And that was good scraping ground. They scraped it for years, but they changed it. That would take up a lot of these licenses that you say you need to take away. And there's other areas that can be used, utilized for scraping again, and which would give you, be able to take care of the license if you put a freeze on the number of licenses you got now and maybe consider have a way of considering new licenses coming in, you know, not at an abundant rate, but that would more than take care of your seasons coming up this year. And there's oysters to go around, and these areas are available.
Yeah, they're being used by hand tongers, though. That
the hand tongers is about 20 to 25 boats. They got about 80% of the rocks in James River. The scrapers is about 120-some boats, and they got about 80% of the rocks. Now, that That don't stand to reason to me. The people that with the most boats should have more areas to work. But if you took it back. You took the areas back. You changed the line at Deep Creek. You went all the way down to Blunt Point. You cut back inside as you went over to Rainbow Point off of Day's Point. And you took a lot of valuable areas these guys was working. That would put a lot of boats back to work. The Hantongs has got all the river. They got practically all the rocks. And this would be a help for as you trying to keep these boats working this year. And that's going to be the main function of what you're after right now. Whether these boats can be worked or you've got to cut somebody off. And if you start cutting them off, you're going to have trouble. I can assure you there. But the obvious thing would be to create more area and give enough adequate area for to keep all the boats working. And that would solve a lot of your problems. Or maybe put some kind of limited entry in on what you're doing. That may be a viable deal as well. But that's something that should be considered. Not only in these rivers, in Rappahannock, these other rivers should be got areas that probably can be open to give larger areas for these boats to work. You cannot congregate all these boats in little teeny areas because you're going to have nothing but a cluster. That's all it's going to be. And no time's going to come out of it. I would recommend for the Rappahannock to open above the ridge 1 year and below the bridge the following year. That would give you large enough areas where these boats would not do the things that are doing. What's happening?
Production we've gotten is off doing it this way has been pretty good. We have a pretty good track record on what we're doing. So.
Yeah, I understand, but it goes quick. These boats are congregated. There are certain areas where you got large enough for rocks that you don't have that problem. But when you get into your smaller areas, you run into your problem.
The issue there is we got too many boats.
Oh, you ain't got enough area to work. How do you want to look at it, huh?
It won't last by opening them up. I mean, we've been down that road.
The boats will work out and they'll have a longer season. They'll work better.
Yeah, Robbie.
In line with Mr. Green's question, just for curiosity's sake, what percent of the 300,000 acres of Baylor Bottom is open annually for hand scrape? Since the resource is our concern here, what percent of that 300,000 acres is actually open and susceptible to the hand scrape?
I haven't figured that out.
I mean, it'd be good to know, because if we're talking about the resource, if 80% of the resource is protected by sanctuary and we're only piddling around with 20% of it, we can't really damage the resource. If there's 20, if there's 80% sitting there, but plenty of it isn't.
I don't know of anything that's out there open that we don't have open in some season that has anything on it.
Wreck shoals.
Yeah, wreck shoals is like for it.
And again, but it's part of the resource. Those oysters aren't staying in. I mean, their spawn is not staying. Oh, we can't leave wreck shoals. This is our home.
Well, that's just 700 acres right there. That's a very small amount.
Of the most productive bottom in James River.
I think we're operating under the premises that oyster, the resource, is a thing that you can put aside like coal or anything else, but oyster business, one good storm can come along and wipe out everything you got, completely kill it all. It's not a resource that you can keep so much of it in a pile and says, okay, this is here and we're going to work this and keep these for brood stocks or whatever. One major hurricane or anything come through, it's going to wipe it all out. It's going to destroy it. It's done it before. It's done it in the past, and it's going to do it again. It's just a matter of time when these things come about. It's an act of nature. A resource like this, I know you need to work it within some fashion to maintain it at a certain level, but it should be worked as well. A lot of these areas should be worked out to a point where you still have some stock left to work on. If not, you stand a chance of just it all going away completely. It'll come back over time again. It'll die and come back, and that's been the process over the eons.
Well, Jim, how is the James River divided, Shaftong versus Handscrape? I mean, is it just a formula you use, or is it? How would it come up with the acres for one compared to the acres of the other?
The Hantong rocks are Hantong rocks. Hantong. They're very, very distinct from wreck shoals up.
Okay. It's so that would stay percentage-wise, what would you say it is Hands Grape compared to Shafton?
Yeah, but it's not based on that. It's mm-hmm. I mean, everything in the James River is salinity-driven mm-hmm. and disease-driven.
Mm-hmm.
The James River is unique in that it has a circulation pattern that carries the larvae from all the way up, all the way down to the modern mm-hmm. Merrimack, and all the way back mm-hmm. up. And mm-hmm. so it doesn't really make any difference where an oyster happens to be sitting mm-hmm. in that gyre.
Mm-hmm.
When they contribute spawn, they move.
Mm-hmm.
They float and they come back.
Mm-hmm.
The majority, a million bushels of oysters we have is up on those seed rocks. And they're congregated and they spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And they populate these areas that we harvest.
Okay.
That's why we don't have to have as much sanctuary in the James as other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about that, the flip side is those oysters have little or no disease resistance
mm-hmm.
because they don't ever see disease.
Mm-hmm.
So in these areas that we are hand scraping on, we're working on 10 market oysters per meter
mm-hmm.
that got the same set as way up where we got 600 oysters per meter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they die. So,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, harvest them more often is not going to get any more of those oysters to market size. So, mm-hmm. disease is running the show there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Richard said, I mean, it was only 20, 25, or 30 boats is the number I've heard last year, you know, worked at Shafton wise. That just doesn't seem fair, you know, that well, the hand scrape.
Those reefs up there would be destroyed.
Hand scrape?
Mm-hmm. They're very, very discreet reefs
mm-hmm.
on top of mud hills that they would be.
Mm-hmm.
Hand dogs is the only thing you can use them
for. Okay.
We'll have time for questions after the panel's probably done. I would think there would be discussion. You know. Anybody else have comments, questions for Jim?
I've got a comment. I don't know. It seems like to me from the data you presented that you got a pretty good management scheme going on the James. It's pretty stable. Why aren't we considering some different management scheme in the other areas that are not doing so well?
The James is unique, just like the Great Wicomico is, and that it has a gyre that produces a lot of spawn that leave that site and go out and repopulate areas outside of it that we harvest. The other areas that we have, like the Rappahannock, that generally runs is it's a flushing circulation as opposed to a circular circulation, and Tangiers the same way, where the larvae get into currents and they go and they're moving up and down, but they never get any great sand.
But what I'm saying is it seems to me that the management scheme in the James, even with the effort that we have, is working. So why aren't we considering different gear types, limited entry, whatever, for the other areas as opposed to messing with the James where you're having success? To me, nothing succeeds like success.
Well, then everybody would just move to the James.
Well, not if you... do something in the other areas. I don't.
If we go to patent dogs in other areas, I think they'll all go to the James.
Well, I mean that's not the only option. I mean we got gear types, we got different things that you could do in the other areas, like the area.
There's nothing that can catch oysters at the densities that we have in these areas that get low spat sets, and we run low densities. We run densities that never get above 10 market oysters per meter. You can't make it at that with any other gear type except for a hand scrape. You can't. Nobody. You couldn't make a day's work at it.
I mean, you're telling me. You've studied this more than I have.
I mean, we can make it. You know, in these areas. I mean, you'll be able to make a day's work for a while in Tangier at 2 oysters per meter average. That's a very, very low density. That's below spawning success But the dredges are very efficient, and they can.
Well, yeah, they're using full-size dredges too,
yeah.
Aren't they?
Some are.
Why can't we change that gear type there?
Well, would you change it to something smaller?
Well, yeah.
It's very hard to get in that deep water to get a small hand scrape. You can try them at any time.
You gotta have less efficient.
Huh?
You gotta have some kind of less efficient gear to get the management value from it. I mean, you're telling me that
all of it,
gear is less efficient.
All of it depends.
Yes.
On
well. Anyway, that's what you want is to get less efficient.
Yeah. I mean, that's if you get less efficient by going to patent dog or something like that. It's, I mean, you might as well limit the entry if you're going to do that, because you're going to make people just go out and work and not even be able to catch a limit. I mean, we're trying to move the fishery back to a more stable state where everybody can make money that's in it, as opposed to just continually let people in. And so that doesn't make a difference what you do with a gear type, as long as you don't stop the number of people coming in.
Well, I know enough about socially what's going on now. They don't have dredging crabs. And if you limit entry and you cut out 50% of these people, where are they going to go? What are they going to do in the wintertime?
If they keep everybody,
they're going to go hand tong, and the only thing they got to do is go hand tonging, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to end up hand tonging. So you get more effort on the hand tong rods. So what have you accomplished there?
The hand tongs will limit themselves. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, they would with me at 74 years old.
Me too.
Rob, did you have a comment?
Yeah, just that, this is the third meeting, and your recommendations are very important. Your advisory group, you know that when the commission meets in August, is what we hope on these issues. There'll be a staff recommendation. There'll be your recommendation. We always like to think that tonight that if you don't really think this season coming up is going to be any different than the season you just had, then that would be surprising to me. I mean, everything that I've been said through the process of Jim's collection and the work that's done on the standing stock surveys, the lack of a spat set, universal spat set since 2012, tells me you're facing something in the immediate future. Regardless of the fact that there's been all sorts of turnover in the oyster resource over time, you're facing this upcoming season. 50% seems pretty draconian to a lot of you in the last couple of meetings. Maybe there are other ways to look. I just asked Adam how many folks had only worked 10 days or less. It's 160 in the handspring. 10 days or less. So is that going to be a hardship if you consider something like that? If you have problems with limited entry right out, then that has to be part of your recommendation or a couple of your recommendations, depending on what you want to do. But really, tonight should be more on your focus and your discussion than what our staff has to present. But I think we've presented a lot of information, enough to give you some ideas to move forward, so that you can at least know if your recommendation is based on what the committee thinks. But I just want to encourage you to work along those lines, because if you can keep showing information and data, but you're the ones who have to make that recommendation.
Well, Rob, I'd like to see a recommendation come out of this committee as well, but I think what you're seeing in some of these meetings is that the members of this committee, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, but take it seriously that you're talking about taking someone's license. And, that's not something to enter into lightly. And I know for myself and others that I've spoken to take that pretty seriously. So I think that's hard, to stand up here, sit up here and say, you know, we're looking at 50% or even 10% or even one. You know, I mean, I think it's hard. So that's why it's a difficulty in looking at some of these things, such as opening more areas or, you know, how many market oysters are in this area and that. I mean, that's it's difficult. So I'd like to see a recommendation too, but it's not easy.
Why couldn't, you know, everything that I'm seeing is like Wicomico and the James River is okay. Why couldn't those areas stay the same and then make some kind of corrections in the areas that are deficient? Like maybe can only work 3 days a week in a Rappahannock or something if it's not going to be enough to last over here if they're 50% gone. Why couldn't something like that work and not take anybody's license away? I mean, if you say that James is okay and McComas goes okay, what?
I mean, if everybody flocks into those areas, then they won't be those. I mean, with the amount of latent effort that we have sitting there, they can go anywhere.
Well, I recognize that, but still, the areas are okay compared to last year. I mean, there's only so many boats that can get in there and fit. From what I've gathered hearing some of these people say, just the areas they can only have so many boats. I don't know how accurate that is.
Tommy, did you have a comment or a question?
I got one question or comment for the upcoming season, but if we're in the middle, I'd just like to, before the recommendation for this season comes out, I'd like to bring up.
I mean, these are the choices you have, you
know. Or something similar.
Or something, yeah.
Or anything else.
Will you consider opening additional areas to scraping? You're not going to consider that at all?
I don't know any other areas that you can open. I don't think we should open that area in between the hand scrape area and Rex Shoals there.
That was an ongoing scraping area for a long time from the beginning when you first started right up until late years.
Part of it was, but not. I mean, most of it. Until we put a good line there, people were going, but they weren't supposed to be going.
Well,
there.
The Blunt Point buoy was the old marker.
Yeah, but that's not that much difference in it.
Yeah, it's
you
quite
had to have some sort of a.
It's about 600 acres. Is what it amounts to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the old line and the new one. We've done the whole.
600 acres is about right for.
And that was all oyster bottom. That would support a lot of boats.
We're making decisions now for 15 and 16 oyster season. But if you could, you know, comment, really we're making decisions for maybe the next three seasons.
Hoping, I mean, you're hoping to get something stable for the future. You're talking about.
I mean, we're in a downward spiral right now for the next 3 years,
we'll
maybe.
Be right back here next year if we don't bite the bullet and make some decisions.
Do you know what percentage would be? You got this magic number of 20 days or less. That and the people, they don't have any other harvest with any other resource. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, if somebody just works 4 or 5 days in oysters but doesn't do anything else, or like this lady was talking about, mm-hmm. that just missed time because of weather, but crabs and does other things.
And Joe went over that last month, man.
What do you know what percentage that would be?
So
that just does oysters.
We have who just.
Just that, like if you say in people that are who have worked less than 20 days, but also have not harvested
in any other
fishery? Any other fishery at all. Just did the oysters.
Yeah, that number's there.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
And you can take it from 20 to 10 if you, you know.
Well, you can take it from 20 days or 10 days.
I mean, those numbers are there, I think. That.
Yeah. Because you're going to have people that might be in the Rappahannock or somewhere where the rock died and they had to do something else, so they didn't oyster at all.
And people on private ground.
And people on private ground, correct.
This is what you're talking about, 95 people that have not harvested any species other than oysters.
Yeah. 95.
405, the people that were less than 20.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 95 of them that didn't do anything.
And then you've got some in Drudge, too, right? Or yeah. But we don't know what percent reduction that would be. Roughly.
Well, it was 652, right?
Well, I mean, when we looked at here before, I mean, Joe did this last time when we drew some line out here, we would get rid of 25%.
If we had people that only oyster, no other species, less than 20 days.
Well, this is other species other than oyster.
Yeah.
Just how many boats from up Rappahannock and the other places come down to James to work every year?
Like
50% of them, or
probably.
Well, it's basically the same fleet that's moving river to river.
Yeah. Okay, so that is going all the time.
Yeah.
12%.
And we'll have questions after.
That's 15%. Right?
I'm trying. Yeah, I think it's 15%.
15% on hand scrapes.
That's what I came up with today, 15%.
Is the 652 number right?
786.
Hand scrape?
Yeah.
That's post control or pre control?
786 is the group that can still.
How many whistles compared to 75,000 would that equate to? 11, 12,
13, 14.
I have no idea.
No, just a minimal amount.
Yeah.
So you take the license away, and it's not going to be really that many license whistles affected.
Yeah, what effort are you taking away?
Yeah. The effort is you're just taking people's license away, and that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And there's not that many whistles of oysters.
So what we're doing, if we figured 12%, we're figuring 12% license. We're not figuring 12% harvest.
So what have you accomplished? So 20 people times 8, that's 160 times, what'd you say, 20 people, and they work 20 days, it's 95 people, 95 times 20, so that's not even 3%.
Yeah.
So that only would affect the harvest by 3%.
I mean, you got to remember that even when we're doing all these considerations of these less than 20, we're only looking at the least productive part of the fishery at this point.
Uh-huh.
You're setting us up for better in the future, but you're not taking out the heavy hitter, so you're not going to see as much impact in the first few years from this, mm-hmm. because the best people are still in there and they're still going to catch a lot. And it's still going to go down quick, but it won't go down quite as quick, and it won't be able to continue to grow.
I can understand that, but I'm just saying, you know, for 2 or 3% of the oysters, you take away 12% of the licenses, and that's pretty.
Well,
but Jim, just because you got limited entry doesn't mean you can't put other controls on.
Well, I know. No, if we don't get enough limited entry, then we'll still have to have the other changes.
Okay, if you did decide to go to limited entry, you could still put other controls on, like an 8-bushel limit. And
but at least you would know then that they would actually work, because you wouldn't have people coming in continually to offset the changes you made.
70 times 20. That's 1,400. 1,400 times 8. That's 96,000.
Okay.
10,000.
Yeah, I was thinking about 12,000.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense or not, but I think, you know, we're looking at the ones that said 20 days or less. And to me, I like a lot of these boys that's here, that probably ain't here, has been in this for a long time. If you ain't worked 20 days, I heard the lady, I could barely hear her. You didn't work 20 days. Well, the wonder is that you didn't work 20 days. You just didn't work 20 days. That's plain and simple. I mean, we worked 60-some days, and it was a god-awful winter from January on and in the middle of the time. If you didn't work 20 days, it's not like it's going to take them down to nothing. That's not detrimental. That's not making or breaking. You know, I think that this, all winter long, that's all I've heard from everybody that I've talked to, and it's very, I've not heard that much in these meetings, that there's way too many boats on the grind. I mean, this is Waterman. I don't mean staff. This is Waterman. You know, I know just in this area, and I don't know if Jeff or Don's there, but it used to be, when I first started biking around, I first started in 99, we were taking around like 2003, 2004 when Shell Rock started taking off, and it used to be about 25 or 30 of us and 20 sets of dollars. Well, now it's about 20 of us, and it's about, I don't know, it looks like 10 million comes out of Saxon now. and it's everywhere, everybody you talk to on the Western Shore. So, and I know people that need this. I know that it's taking licenses, but it's 20 days. It's not life and death. If you didn't work 20 days, you're not living hand to mouth on the oystering. I am. I can't go down to 4 bushels. I'll tell you the truth, I can't go down to 6 bushels. I think it is to stay at 8. And if taking the ones that take very little away from this industry out of it keeps us that need this, I ain't got nothing else to do. I can't go nowhere. I can't go up the road to a construction site and say, can I get a job? This is what I got. This is all I have. And I depend on this. And if the ones that don't depend on it, that didn't work 20 days, if that's what it means for the ones for people like me, for people like Jeff, for people like Don, they're the ones that I know that's on this panel. If that's what it takes, and not to mention that's what it takes for the people like Tom and Lacey to depend on, well, then I don't think that's an unreasonable assessment. And as far as I think I heard somebody talking about opening up more grind, opening all up at the same time. Well, that's a very legitimate argument. It's very legitimate. But I don't know if we're changed members all around, but I know there's somebody on here that was on this panel about 4 or 5 years ago when Ken and Russell Gaskin and them wanted everything open from October till the end of maybe December or January. And we reneged on it. We didn't want it. We wanted ours the same, December, because we have nothing else to do. And they had to go back to the commission. Bowman was the chairman then. They had to go back to the commission and ask for 6-bushel limit for the month of February in the James River. And everybody piled on to Drum and Grind. From what I hear, I went down there, but from what I hear, in my Drum and Grind, everybody piled on to James River. This idea that we all split up in our own perfect world in our own separate ways, that'll happen. If somebody's going to get them an hour earlier than me, I'm going there. And if somebody 2 rivers up is going to get them by 8 o'clock and I have to work till 12:30, well, I'd be going 2 rivers up just like everybody else does. And
The only other thing I wrote this time, Mr. Inslee, you usually have some very good ideas, but to put pass forms on us, that was a, I think if I was there, I'd have moved.
Well, you misunderstood me because I didn't say anything about bad dogs.
That has been, Leon McMahon is 85 years old and he's still oyster and he quit school when he was 14 to go oyster dredging with a 4-foot dredge. That's not the problem. Shorter days, that's not the answer because that's going to hurt people like me. I think I heard John mention 3 days a week. Well, that's not the answer. I need solid because well, sometimes in 3 days it might blow two of them. I think there's a happy medium that we can meet, that we can all get together and quit thinking about the one person that it's going to affect on the 20 days. You know, if it didn't work 20 days, again, it didn't affect me. So maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way that I feel.
I'm with you 100%, Daniel.
Anybody else have comments or questions?
So, just real quick, I'd reiterate. So, what I was saying, if we do people that hadn't worked less than 20 days, that had no other activity, it's 12%. Am I correct? We take that off the board right now. 12%. All right.
Hey, Jim?
Yes. Yes. Yes, Jim.
Yeah,
Yeah, I got it. Yep, everybody got it.
Well, I would think the ones that's not working very many days is doing less damage than the ones that's working a lot of time. You want to take the license from a man who's worked 10 days. Yeah, but you're not gaining nothing. This guy ain't caught a whole lot of oysters, so he really hasn't done a lot of nothing.
Yeah, but if we're satisfying the staff, let's go with it.
That's right. That's right. The staff is small enough to understand the same thing that we're saying.
And you don't know when they're going to get back in.
We're scapegoat, and that's not going to be the final run of the thing. So you'll crank up the ones that ain't been working much now. They're going to say, well, we're going to have to get in gear. Let's really start getting out here and really digging up stuff this year. So you might even create people that didn't want to work even more, you know.
Create false reporting.
That's right. So they can, they're scared they're going to lose their license. So you'll have to have them out there every day pushing.
Did you have a comment on that, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Chris Pressman, and I started in 74 when I went to Old Christopher Newport College, and I did that at night. And I graduated, and I stayed chaff hauling oysters down the river, up the river, because it was all seagulls back then. Every now and again, we did one of them in the suit, the big oysters, the three bucks. I said, I guess the question is, or comment, what young person graduating from college, high school today, in the right mind would do this? No one. I got ridiculed, and I loved it, and I gave it up when the market split, like in the early 90s. By then, the papers had said we were able to harvest this river, like 28 oceans down the river. And in the 50s, I got some pictures, and I was on the batteries and things. We better protect the young people that want to get into this, because it's nothing to attract.
86 was the last year.
And my three boys made more money than, of course, it's different times. But I suggest we keep making it attractive as far as being able to do the work. But a buyer may be able to buy more because everybody that kept it. Besides, that's what it's there for, it's for us to catch, not to study the blue stocks. Our shaft on James River, we walked all the way down to the bridge years ago. Sure, we had to pull the 40s and 42s, but it produced rough coals and soup, and we had to pull color every now and then. But up the sold deer. I sold grains. I got a drubbing saw selling grains. Well, he wants the drudge, but he doesn't have a license. Now, he has the drudge, but that's a big deal to begin with. You know, who can afford to buy a boat today and do it on even the horses 45 hours? I understand that's a big price. But and the other thing I think is we're talking 6-8 bushels. Now, that's pretty neat. But like I heard somebody say something about Louisiana, the buyer can drop us in a heartbeat in James River if they can get it anywhere else. And that's free trade. But I do think, like Mr. Roy said earlier, I think we've got to keep it where people can have access to make a living in the river. Because if we don't, the numbers are going to drop. The numbers dropped years ago because the buyers didn't buy the seaweed.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, I would like to say one more thing.
Yes, sir.
The average age of most of the women are getting pretty, most of the guys are getting pretty old. I would say through attrition, you're going to lose probably over half of your oystermen over the next few years. You know, I'm not saying they're going to drop dead, but they're getting to the point where they're not going to be able to work. And I'm not quite sure what the average age is of the waterman. I imagine all run between 55 and 60. You got some young people coming in, but not very many. And you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to have not very many people at all. And I see it coming very soon.
That's my biggest fear as a producer and someone that's invested a lot of money in this oyster industry in this state. I mean, Dan Dyes and Ben Johnson are endangered species. I mean, I'm not talking about a guy that's going to go there for 20 days or 10 days or whatever just because it's good. I'm talking about somebody that I can invest money and hire a number of people and depend on resource day in, day out to have markets and have employees and have trucking logistics, the things that it takes to run a viable industry. And It's scary to me to look around at the docks. We buy all over the bay, and Richard's absolutely right. I mean, the age of these watermen scares me to death. And Dan can attest in Tangier. I mean, we've had some real attrition there in the last 3 or 4 years. And we've had them pass on. We've had them that are disabled and can no longer, and it's a real eye-opener for me, and it's scary what we're going to do down the road. It's not going to fix this problem, but it's coming, and it's coming faster than I would like to see it. But there's got to be a matrix in this for young people to get in that are willing to make an investment and willing to work every day, because we've got 10 years at best with the fleet that we've got and the watermen that we've got, and it's got to be thought about if we're really as serious as the administration and this commission and the various watermen's associations and trade groups make us out to be. I mean, strategically planning, we got to think beyond 3 years, and when we come up with whatever a limited entry or whatever we come up with, you've got to think beyond where we're at, and this attrition is that's going to be a huge factor in this.
Yes, ma'am.
Do something else, whether it be trapping, whether completely. I mean, we have nothing, yeah, we have private grounds, but that's not always something that you want to take and completely use that resource and harm yourself.
Ma'am, no one's trying to eliminate the oyster fishery.
But if you look at the trend here,
nobody's trying to eliminate the oyster fishery.
The past 5 months, the trend is that.
Didn't we have another comment?
The commercial fishermen, fishery, not, you know, make them go out of business.
There's nobody on this board trying to do that.
It's food for thought. I just think that we need to look at what we're doing. Because these are people's lives. This isn't just something that people choose to do. It's something they've done their entire life. They have nothing else they can do.
Does anybody have a recommendation they want to offer?
Just for 1 second, I'd like to revisit this year's opening. Would staff consider Deep Rock as an alternate drudge area for the month that the Mob Jack is open? Is that March? I mean, we're harboring a pretty decent resource there for six guys to have. And, I mean, it's not producing any oysters to what it could produce. And that's one area I think we all could agree is it's a resource there. You've got built-in limiting factors with weather and ability for people to work there. We dredged it. I guess that was probably the first area that we ever really went to, just as a backup to what's going to happen. Could it be incorporated with Mob Jack in the rotation of that bay area that it would come offline when the York River area is rotated back in?
Yeah, that place really went down when we dredged it. It took a long time to get it back up to where it is right now. And those guys that work out there.
But that wasn't hand scrape.
Hmm?
That was dredge.
Yeah. But you couldn't work a hand scrape out there. So deep.
How deep is it?
It's just like down here. 28.
I mean, with 30 days really hurt it with the weather restrictions built in.
It would put
there again, and with all due respect, I mean, you still got to look at the infrastructure in this industry that we need resources. We're going to. You can't harbor a resource for six boats. And I'm truly sorry to offend anyone in that fashion, but we got to look at the broader scheme. If we're going to reduce this, take some efforts here to cut the number of people back. That is a resource that's available. You're talking, you know, 30 days out of 900 days. It can't hurt it, but so bad. It's just something I would like to have considered.
Are you asking staff to consider that or this committee to?
Well, I mean, if staff didn't, I guess I would like the committee to take it up, but obviously I think we're going to have staff support to get it to move forward. But it's the only area that I can readily think of that could be added into rotation that I don't think it has the issues that some of these other areas we've talked about adding in would have. The patent hongers are free to work any of the hand scrape areas?
No.
I mean, would that?
I don't know.
I mean, I had four hand scrapers that rigged up and went down there patentong and then had, you know, the six bushels or whatever everyone else was catching. I mean, it kind of goes back to your comment that we just don't have the densities that support.
Well, the few guys that work there get there, you know, work there all winter long, every day, so.
It's not much effort there, though, for what it produces. As an asset to the industry.
How long was that open time?
Three months. I mean, you could open it the first 2 months for the patentongers and just have it. I mean, you know better than me, but you probably wouldn't get over 15 days of that unless you had an abnormally good weather situation. I mean, Dan did it. The first time I met Dan Dyes, he was probably in his early 20s. He did that dredge area, and there were days on end when they were, you know, we were finding vehicles to get over there to Kevin Wade's for them to have something to do. They were stuck over here with nothing to do, and the weather was too bad. But it's an alternative, and I mean, Mobjack is going to be a terrible rotation. It's just something to add to it that I don't think we're doing any detrimental damage to the overall scheme of rotations by adding that in. Is there anyone on that? I mean, Jay, you're down there. I mean, what?
Well, it's an extremely hard area to work, you know, because it is so rocky and so fossilized, you know. I mean, it's just you're going to tear up a lot of dredges there. It's not an easy place to work. There's nothing like what we work in the Rappahannock. I ain't saying you can't do it, you know, but of course, I know the last time they had the bigger dredges, and they seemed to work a little better than the smaller dredges we got now. I don't know if you could, I don't know how it would work. But it'd be hard to keep it on the bottom because it's just going to, you know, hit the rocks and bounce. It's kind of like the Blackbird Hang, you know, when you get up there and get in those and get in that area, you know, but same situation.
I mean, you could require a dredge permit for anybody that if you deem that it has to be a dredge, you could have you have to have a dredge permit. I mean, Dan, do you have any thoughts on this? I know you've got history in that area. I guess at this point I would just put it out to the pleasure of the committee.
I don't know what the density is there, but I know the boys that worked there, the three boats that I know that worked there a lot last year, they were pretty much all day getting their 8 bushels there. So I don't know. Yeah, it's not a lot of horses there. And I don't think it's a lot of area, you know. I know they basically worked two particular small rocks. But I don't know. I haven't worked it in a lot of years either.
Well, in terms of effort control in this discussion here with this committee, I think, you know, staff, Jim, have presented all the information we have.
Mm-hmm.
They've made predictions, I guess, of where they feel this is going to be for oyster season coming up. It's up to this committee to offer a recommendation that's going to go before the commission. And I'm happy to deliver the discussions and deliberations, but it would help to have a recommendation and a motion, whether it's the majority or it's unanimous, or there could be a minority report as well. But something coming out of this committee, I think, is going to be pretty important for the commission come August. So we understand where the staff presentation is. Is it the pleasure of this committee to you know, have a recommendation?
You do have another month. I mean, it's
what do you mean?
You know, I mean, that all we're going to be doing is after public hearings this time.
Yeah, for August, though, we're going to have a
– Yeah.
There's going to have to be a decision at VMRC, right?
You would not have to have it today.
Well, instead of making a huge knee-jerk reaction, since this time last year we were standing on this cliff and we seemed to hang on and make it, and have since put in the control date of July 1st, 14, so we have capped it. It can't get any bigger. It is where it is right now with what it is. Instead of taking a leap, why don't we take baby steps and leave the control date in place and see how this season proceeds and visit it again next year. If everything matches up with the data that's been presented as far as the harvest and the downturn and things, then take another baby step, take another baby step, instead of trying to figure out how you're going to make this leap in one season.
I mean, that, in my opinion, that's a perfectly fine recommendation coming out of here. I think something moving forward, maybe not right now, but something moving forward from this committee to the board is very important.
Well, Jim, we didn't actually close it till September, right? Emergency closing. So the July control date actually was the effective date.
Control date just says we can go back to that date and not consider
right.
it. We did add in no more dredges.
Right. But we had quite a
no more dredges.
Yeah. But between July and September, we did have a lot of people got into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The change to that later in the year was just simply that if you had one, you could buy one. It wasn't that it doesn't allow for more folks to get in.
It was only like 140. We started off with nobody could have it, and then we changed it back to if you had one in the past, you could do it. But that was the first year by the time we had done that, so.
Is that a motion from the other end of the table?
No, it was just a, it can be, but it was not intended that way. It was just, I guess, up for discussion, some food for thought.
Yes, sir.
So can he change that?
There's no transferability right now.
Excuse me?
There's no transferability right now.
No transfer?
No transfer. No agents.
No sale of a new license?
We don't want to see that. There's no transferability at this point, but that's something that we could look at. Yeah.
Limited issue, we could fix transferability.
Mm-hmm. A certain option for the younger people, you know.
Yeah.
If I want to get out of it in 5 years, I could sell my license to a younger person. You know, that's certainly an option there for us to do that.
Especially with the graying of the watermen,
I think that would have to be an option if we, you know,
yep.
do a limited entry in Austin, that it is transferable. Or,
I agree.
Well, with the James River holding its form the way we all seem to like that it would, we have some kind of disagreement as to whether a bunch of people would converge on it. But I'd like to make a motion that the situation in James River stay the same as it was last year. So I'll get the ball rolling there.
Second. Got a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Can we discuss?
Yep.
Does that mean same date, same limit?
Everything the same.
Well, that's in your plan, right, Jim?
Well, my plan depends a lot on other things, but I had thought that possibly we would want to do 2 months and then open it up again later in the season when we don't have anything, like March.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Don,
would it make sense to take up the whole season at this point, went into what he's talking about, and at least have that recommendation going forward?
Sure. Well, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Unless you want to remove your motion and talk about the whole plan.
So that would mean that November, December, the James River would stay just like it was last year. There'd be no changes in that, right?
But Jim's talking about the possibility of
March. Yeah. March. I laid them up.
Instead of January.
Was it 2 months last year or 3 months?
It was 3 months.
3 months, I thought, yeah.
Well, we got, so there wasn't anything to do in March.
Okay.
Is the motion for no, is the same November, December, and January? Keep the same?
Yeah, whatever it was before.
Any other discussion on the motion?
I would like to offer a substitute motion to incorporate in with Mr. DeMaria's motion to open the areas as suggested, and I would like to throw out including Deep Rock for a 2 week hand scrape season in March and accepting Jim's March edition of James River.
Is that a friendly amendment?
I'm fine with
it. Well, are you okay with that?
That's fine with me.
All right. Does everybody understand? Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Cool.
Motion passes unanimously.
Now the rest of the story.
What was the 10-day percentage we established at? Was it like 12%?
12%.
And we have a current freeze in place going forward.
Yeah, that what is that something that we can discuss here, or we don't?
Yeah. Discuss anything
well,
more.
So, well, we have to determine the viability of somebody who does have a hand scrape license before we can. I don't understand. Why is there a problem for transferring it anyway to start with? Just because.
It's not part of the.
Just not set up.
Okay.
Now we've got
good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'd like to make a motion that an existing hand scrape license could be transferred.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
So that transfer, from staff's perspective, that would work just like any other gear fishery, like a crab pot license, that it would be between buyer and seller, whatever the terms were, and there would be a transfer process here at the commission. And
make sure there are no exceptions.
No exceptions, right.
Thank you.
Did you do the motion or
let's amend that to include dredge as well.
The second okay with that?
Second, yeah, that's fine.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Cool.
One opposed. Discussion, comments, motions. Yeah, pretty good.
Well, I guess, what was that other area that was Great Wicomico? That's stable. Is that area worthy of continuing the way it did last year? I mean, I know the James River. That's my home. There's other areas I just don't know. That's up to you guys up there to figure that out.
You did pass all the seasons, right?
We did the plan, all the seasons in the plan.
Presented by Jim, and that
right.
was
okay. Right. Yep. Now you're down to F control.
Right.
Pretty much. Or no action.
Mm. What? Well, then, how many people are applying? Have been applying on an annual basis for license to dredge oysters? Or how many licenses have been being issued annually?
Last year was 306.
306. The year, so go back like 4 or 5 years. That's it right there. So it's like a couple of hundred every year.
One, I mean, this one we only require one on a boat. So this, the trend is up, but it's different now. So,
what about if somebody decides does not buy their license when they're supposed to buy it? Are they able to buy it at another time?
At this point,
right now, that's if they don't.
At this point, they are.
Excuse me?
If you had one previously, the way it is right now, you can rebuy one. You can buy one.
And there's so and how long is one able to wait before they decide to do that again?
Right now, there's no time limit.
So, in other words, if somebody didn't buy a license and then 2 years later they decide to want to buy it again, they could.
Yeah.
Same way as the craft
fishery.
You don't have to use it and wouldn't worry about losing to maintain it.
So people don't have to worry about maintaining it, like you said. How many potential people are out there that have not been maintaining their license could get their license?
Don't know. We don't know how many.
There's nothing to maintain. It's been open entry.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Right. Anybody can get a license any day of the year, 12 months out of the year.
Until now, and if they ever got one back,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've counted up how many there might be out there.
I mean, so if I understand this, I've got a license. If I didn't renew it this year or next year, I could renew it 3 years from now, no problem.
Yeah.
The way it's set up.
You had one in 1987.
Gosh, I've always renewed my license all the time, just figuring I would lose it if I didn't do it. So the people that aren't renewing their license, they're probably the people that aren't really needing to work.
Yeah, but they have no effort. So you're not
talking gear license.
Excuse me?
You are talking gear license.
Yes.
In the scenario of not buying one this year and buying one for
you're not talking about
well, all these people that if you're able to transfer your gear license to somebody that doesn't have one because of this closure, then all these people would want to get their license and sell it to somebody or transfer it to somebody. Is that not correct?
Well, they have the license. Existing licenses, as long as both parties have a commercial fisherman registration license, there can be a transfer.
But if they haven't been maintaining their license, they could get that because now they know they could transfer to somebody.
Right, they have to get the license.
Because before they could not do that.
They didn't need to
do
that.
So if I had my dredge license in 1989,
yeah.
And I haven't had it since, I could get it now and transfer it to somebody else. So now we've opened up Pandora's box.
You what?
We've opened up Pandora's box now where we could have 1,000 more oystermen in the fishery.
What would be the ramification of a rule that would stop, that would require people to maintain that license? Yeah, I'm just, that's what I'm wondering. What does everybody think about that over here? Because if these people aren't been maintaining their license, they could care less about catching oysters, I would think.
If we're talking about.
You could turn it into the user fee.
Within the last 2 seasons can be transferred.
Tie it into the user fee.
Limit it down, or you just not allow it.
I said you could tie the transfer. I'm sorry.
you could try to tie the transfer into the user fee, because prior to 2 years ago, that wasn't in place. So if it wasn't a license that included a user fee, you would capture the situation that Wayne was talking about.
Yeah. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have voted for it, I tell you. Didn't know that.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we amend our previous motion to include
transfers
of license that have operated under the 2013 user fee only.
Who made the motion?
I did. I'm a little confused over here what we're talking about, though.
So if you didn't have a user fee, you couldn't transfer a license. So in other words, you couldn't go back to a license you had 15 years ago and sell it to me just so that I could.
Because you weren't paying a user fee.
Right.
Yeah, that's acceptable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Roy, you okay with that?
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Does everybody understand what's going on?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't hear real good, Jeremy. I couldn't hear Tommy real good. Could you explain? Could you say it a little louder?
So the idea is the previous motion was to allow transfers of both hand scrapes and dredge licenses. And what became apparent is if you have one of those licenses from a number of years ago prior to 2013 before the user fee, that could be transferred. What Tommy suggested was amending the previous motion to only allow transfers of hand scrapes and dredge licenses that are tied to the user fee, meaning the last 2 years.
Okay.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Can I please keep on my scenario, please?
Aye.
Yeah.
Aye. We have to vote on that first. Yes, sir.
3 years ago, my years were getting mixed up. When I first came back in, and I was working with a fellow that was called Dredge, and I had that dredge. Well, that January came, I bought the dredge license. Well, then I stopped working with him, and I bought a little bit bigger Carolina skiff to hand tow. So then when we heard these things happening here, I would have been bought, if he bought a dredge boat, I would have been bought a hand scrape license. This year, okay.
Then you
if I'd have known that, I'd still have bought it and still done it, but I didn't have the opportunity to go dredge it because I got off that boat, but I bought the license. Now I have it now. And I've paid the use, I've been back in for 4 years or so, I guess 3, 4, 5 years or whatever. And I've paid my card, I paid my oyster license up here, and now this thing with the user fee, if we call it something else, but. We're paying the money. He's paying the money.
So you're paying a user fee, right?
Yes, sir.
You transfer.
But the dredge license is in your name, and you haven't bought a user fee, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, sir. Because I've been doing it every year for the last 4 years. You can transfer.
Then you can transfer it.
We're supposed to be able to sell the oysters.
So, sir, if this goes through to the commission, then you would be able to transfer your license.
Because you've been paying a user fee.
He has not been. He didn't.
Yeah,
it's not
you're time. Good to go.
But the last couple of years up until here this year, I had a dredge license, and then I got off that boat. I didn't have an opportunity to dredge. Now I have
but if you done it last year, you had to get a user fee.
License, okay? If I'm understanding what you're saying,
any other discussion or comments? Did you have anything, Jim?
I would like to make the motion that we keep the control date along the lines of what I said earlier. We keep the control date in place as it has been set and proceed in small steps, as in not cutting licenses at this point. See how the 15-16 season plays out with predictions and estimates, and
revisit this issue after this season and after the information is collected and take the next step if we need to versus taking a giant leap at this time.
So the motion,
the motion
is status quo.
Keep the control date, cut no licenses, and revisit pertaining to the data next year and make the proper adjustments with that.
I'll second that.
Got a motion, a second. Everybody understand?
Can you repeat that, Mr. Chairman? I couldn't hear you.
Not really. So the motion is essentially status quo from where we are currently. It's the control date will stay in place, July 1, 2014, and there will be no harvest effort control reduction. So everything will remain the same that it is currently for the 2014-15 season. Everything will remain in place.
But we could get a bushel reduction, right?
Didn't we vote for the
bushels will stay the same. Everything would stay the same. That's the motion on the table. Everything would stay the same.
Carry the same through 15-16 season.
And carry everything through this upcoming oyster season, 2015 and 2016.
We have one more meeting before it goes in front of the BMRC commission.
We don't have to.
Do we have one? I'm saying.
No.
No.
Unless you want one.
Unless you're meeting by yourself.
Too far a drive.
Jim, question. We haven't got a vote on the motion yet.
Well, the discussion on the motion? You have discussion on the motion? Or?
No, it's something a little different. But.
Yes, sir.
I guess it could be. Earlier, somebody asked you to compare a stock assessment to what actually was produced on a piece of ground. And I guess there wasn't one. What area was that?
I think Rich was asking about the entire area.
Oh, was that
so what I'm wondering is it possible that a stock assessment could be made so that when that question is asked in the future that we could, you know, have a ratio to see how close that assessment is with what's actually happening?
That's not unless you just work the exact area that I did the assessment on.
Yeah, well, I'm just...
We don't survey all the James River. We survey selected bars.
But it's a ballpark to go by.
Doesn't that give you a little...
We do that survey every year.
I understand.
Well, but that... that's what confused me about it, because I figured you were surveying all these areas. I just figured there is some kind of ratio.
There is. I mean, that based on... I can only look at what harvest was in the past, see how our stock assessment changes, then I can make a projection on what the next year's...
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, that we should be able to get some kind of ratio to see how accurate that is, how accurate that assessment compares to what actually gets produced in that area. I know it's not going to be 100% perfect, but it might be within 15 or 20%, which would be better than no percent, is what I'm asking. Does that make any sense?
We pretty much said last year it was going to go up. So, that's basically the projection we gave.
So that's basically what you're going by for next year. You're going to go figure you're going down because of what?
Okay.
So we can get some kind of a ratio from that.
Uh-huh.
We can get some kind of ratio of that to see how that's working out, which would, I guess that would have been a nice answer to have when it was asked earlier. Okay, I'm finished.
I had a question for Jim. After a post-control date, somebody bought a license and they didn't go on the water at all. That's no reduction in effort because they never had effort in the fishery. But would that license, if in fact a transfer, you know, they bought the license and they paid the user fee and things, they would be able to transfer that if this transfer went through?
Yep.
Okay.
what are we looking at there? 90 licenses? Is that what it was?
Like that, yeah. There won't be any hard to find a license.
It won't what?
Won't be hard to find a license.
Right, right.
Because of the transfer?
Huh?
Because of the transfer?
No, there's plenty of licenses. If you want to transfer them, there's plenty of people out there that just work, you know, nothing or two or three bushels, so.
And Wayne's question, that 95, that's the total number of licenses.
That's the people that, after the control date, didn't actually go out and work. They bought a license after the control date and never went out there.
They could sell their license, and that latent effort could enter the fishery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got to realize that there's 95 licenses out there that can be transferred that haven't been counted into the number that could actually put effort into the fishery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things the CRAD committee struggled with, when they tried to look into license transfers over the years, is active to active. There's always been concerns it hasn't stopped the spread fishery either. Where you have a latent license, it's transferred, that license becomes active. If someone pays money, they're going to make that license active. And so it depends on whether or not you want to consider that there are two classes of licenses right now. There could be an active license, there could be an inactive license. You know, if that matters to you, then you know, you certainly can talk about. It may be worth a conversation about, well, should they not be allowed to transfer?
So you're saying not remove them from the fishery, but they would be deemed inactive. They would retain their license, but they'd be inactive.
And that's just a suggestion. That's not, I don't want to
say therefore, anything. They would not be able to transfer.
Right.
Well, it's just like what he was talking about. There's not a lot of...
You know, like shooting yourself in the foot?
Well, the young...
allowing that, by the way?
But the only thing that I'm thinking about is like what he was talking about, the young people that want to come into it and people getting older, and there's no provision for any young person to come in.
But there would be under the transfer.
That's correct.
It just...
Yeah.
You're also making a mechanism for 90-some people to make them a lot of money. In addition to your... I think you were talking about having to compete with someone else for the resource, but you're also, I mean, as it stands now, we've given 95 people a
transferability.
Yeah, and that will probably command any price that within reason that someone wants. So with that said, I would like to make a motion that we only take transfers on active license.
So an active license, what does that mean?
Someone that used it.
Second.
You have to define it as an active license.
Somebody that spent one day on the water.
So yes, I was going to say, we give them the avenue now to work one day, and then the next year they can sell their license.
But this would go back to the control date, right?
Or I guess that reported bushels harvested. That's active, right?
Well, we had a big group of people in the pre-control date that didn't oyster, that had licenses.
Had licenses, paid the user fee, and would be able to transfer.
Huh? But they were pre-control date, too. Yeah, there was more than 90 in that one.
Right.
But they haven't paid a user
but
fee.
No activity.
Huh?
They haven't paid a user
fee. Yeah, they
no
have.
Activity, they
yeah.
paid
yeah.
a user fee.
Yeah.
How long have we had the user fee? Since
2013.
Yeah. 2 years.
But the control date is
a 14. That's right. There's 95 of those, but he said there's far more of the pre-game.
Well, on this, what we're talking about right over here, you know, I have my dredge license, and I've never, ever used it. And I figured if I didn't, when it came available to get, if I didn't get it, then I would never, ever be able to get it. Now, I've got a son that's 19 years old that's dredging oysters on my 1,600 acres of private beds. And as long as I got oysters over there, that's where he's going to work. That he makes a good living on that. But now, if this goes through, he could use my license for himself to work, but he could not use the license as long as it's in my name. So, and then there were, I think there was somebody else that had talked a few meetings ago that they had people that were working on private beds all the time, but they maintained other licenses, and they maintained other licenses because if something ever happened where they were working on private, they'd be able to get on public. So I've certainly benefited from that, not from a financial standpoint, just from, you know, keeping my family, being able to fish in the fishery. And apparently there are other people in the same situation, too. They work off a private all the time, but if something happens on a private bed, they'd be able to go to the public and transfer the license if necessary.
Well, yeah, but I mean, on that note, John, I understand where you're coming from, but if we're going to go because he worked on private ground, well, the cryopod or that cryopod at 120 days, we'll go back and say, why is my cryopod at 120 days? I think on this, we need to look at the public and public alone. Private ground is no different than any other fishery. It's something that you can control and something that you can do yourself. I don't see where somebody going pulling out 20 bushels a day off private ground is any different than somebody go catching 20 bushels of crabs off of public ground, public crab ground. Either way, you're both off the public ground. It's an entirely different occupation. Saying in the same sense, you've got a lot of people here on the shore that's got gauges that don't ever go into public ground. That could go into that, and I understand where you're coming from, but it, like I said in my earlier comment, we're all thinking about this one person that everything's going to affect, and if we keep doing that, we're going to never get nowhere.
I agree.
Well, I'm just telling you my situation. I'm just laying the cards on the table. It's not acceptable. It's a bunch of y'all that can vote against me, so ain't no problem. I'll live with it.
Well, we have a motion, and
my motion is still standing.
Yes, your motion's still standing. There's just discussion around it. Any more discussion on the original motion?
On Ben's motion?
On Ben's original motion, which was seconded by John, right?
Yeah.
Could you repeat the motion, please?
Everything stays status quo.
Status quo.
No other discussion? All right, let's take a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
1-2 opposed.
Just so I can understand, why would you oppose that?
Well, because it's not going to pass commission. I mean, we're just fighting a losing battle there. I mean, we've been sitting here for six months, and you know, they're telling us we don't have the oysters. Uh-huh. And so when we go up with this, where everything's going to stay the same, I mean, it's the commission. I mean, it's not going anywhere.
In the worst case scenario, you leave it the same. We go catch the oysters that they say are there, and we prove them right that their stock assessment was right.
Well, I know I worked Temple's Bay before.
I mean, worst case scenario, we prove staff right. That's
In worst case scenario, we could be cutting our own throats.
Yeah.
Well, you don't forget that the commission has regulatory power, and they can pass a regulation in 30 days, emergency regulation. If things go bad, then Jim can point it up and call for emergency regulation.
Mm. That's
a change.
I just know Temple's Bay. I mean, we opened that up 1st of October, and you put 300 boats on that rock. It ain't going to last a week if everything stays like it is. I mean, we got to get the effort. That's the main thing. We've got to cut the effort because it's just entirely too many boats.
And with Tangier and Kokomo going to be way down from what they've been in the past, if you get that fishery on the western side, it's going to shut us all down.
So what is it you think would make things better for you in that respect for that particular area?
Well,
cut the effort.
Less effort in your particular area?
Yeah, less effort. That's what we've got. We've been talking about.
Motion for less effort in that particular area?
Mm-hmm. Status quo.
Excuse me?
Status quo.
Status quo, yeah.
you can make a further motion, I guess.
Yeah, couldn't you make something to accommodate?
Area, could you do that? I mean, I thought we just kind of said status quo for everything, so.
Yeah, what would you do? Would you say, how would limit what boats could come in? And
right.
Yeah. Yeah, we've, you know, we passed a motion, status quo. I'll vote against it.
I'm just wondering if there's something that could be done just to cover your feelings. I mean, you know your area. I don't.
It's probably the smallest area that we have in the Rappahannock, other than six. It's probably the only smaller one.
Is there something that they could do over there, Jim, to make it more palatable to them?
As long as people can go.
I mean, you know, I worked at Potomac, the Rappahannock, the York, and the James last year, and I worked at all. And I see what can happen to it with the effort that we had last year.
There's too many boats.
Is the moratorium on licenses still in place, right?
That's what we put the transfer in for.
Right.
With the problem that you had as a result of not all the areas being open at the same time. You're having smaller areas open, then all the boats is going to gangbang in that one area. If you had larger areas or more areas was open in the same time period, then the boats would have to be more spread out.
That would improve it. And we see some relief in November when the James River opens. I mean, but we found in Area 1 last year, a lot of the boats that we thought would go to the James River, especially the boys from Gloucester, a lot of them stayed at Deltaville. They didn't go to James River. Yeah. Because they didn't want to fight the traffic or whatever the reason was there, you know.
It seems to be the problem I've been noticing is because, like, certain areas open for a while, these small areas here, because everybody got, they're going to go where the most money is at.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And these other areas close down. If all these areas was open in conjunction, the way I know, the buyers want the oysters to be spread out more because they don't want all the oysters in 2 weeks. They don't want them all. They want them over a period of time in winter because if his market's got the answer to that type of problem.
Right.
But there must be a way that we can have some other areas open in conjunction with you.
Well, I worked Temple's Bay 2 years ago when it was open, and it was a madhouse then, and I can imagine what it's going to be like this year.
Same if thing don't make some the Elk River.
It's just
down to just one area, and then everything was just in that one area, and it just, but it's been other areas in conjunction with it. I don't know if there's a way that we could work other areas that would be open within it to kind of make the fleet spread out a little bit. It would be the general idea.
James River in October opening, you know, would give some relief to.
Well, small bushel. I mean, they just want to catch them up over a long period of time.
So, Jim, you've heard a couple times.
Six bushels, so it'll take me 2 weeks later.
Unless we want to go back in the old days where everything's open and it's all over with quick.
But if James at the same time as that opened, in the beginning, all these places
we've been doing seems like
people on shore have been James.
Made progress. So
the thing was, they caught James up, then this open.
When we had nothing, we had everything open at the same time.
But the bulk of the dredge season seems to operate around November, December, January. I know they like to spread it out in February maybe a little bit and maybe some in October. But it looked like if we could work around them areas would be the bulk of the ground.
We have the most areas open in November, December, January.
That should spread the fleet out enough to where.
October is a critical month. Temps Bay, the only place open, and the whole Chesapeake Bay. For 950 boats to work. I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they'll stay crabbing.
Yeah.
Hey, looking good.
Not the price
is the if we're wrapped up on some of this, can you give the committee maybe an update on what spat sets look like for this year?
Well,
preliminarily?
It's way too early to. I mean, all we know, we've seen some spat set. We've seen spat on shell strings in the James, the Great Wicomico, and the Piankatang. The last week, I went and looked at the bottom, and the Great Wicomico didn't see them on the bottom.
Really?
I mean, saw a few, but not anything that matched. Didn't match the shell string. Missy, I went to the last week.
Okay. I know she said there was something on shell strings a couple weeks ago, but I didn't.
No, we've had very good shell strings. Very good, very good shell strings. But we had broken shell strings last year.
Right. Okay.
Did you check out the old rocks, Jim? Office? You didn't check it? I heard you check it. I heard you went up there and checked it. The old rocks and all.
We were up there planning, you know, close to there. But we
but you never checked Yellow Rocks and Blue Rock, no?
We checked them in December.
Okay. What did you see?
Nothing. I mean, you got a few left over, but it's, I mean, the density per meter is almost nothing.
Oh.
And those had many spats out there.
Seen it. Spats out there.
Not from last year.
I don't go to many of
the. Anyone on the committee have anything else? Tommy.
I have one other suggestion. I know it's getting late, but I would like the committee to consider that 95 people and whatever people pre-control date that didn't actually harvest to have a one-year freeze on their ability to. If we're going to take baby steps and look at this, I would like to be able to look at it at least at what we looked at last year and at least cap the latent ability of what's there that could exercise this year.
That was the point of my motion, was that we have a baseline with your projected 130,000 bushels. If we keep the effort the same that it was, we can take your numbers. If we catch 200,000 bushels, we can say, hey, maybe we need to figure out a better way to survey so that we have better data from that end. If we go catch roughly the 130,000, then, okay, estimates work well, they're great. Then we need to figure out effort, now that we know they're solid, figure out effort off of projections instead of making a projection and jumping overboard because of it. That was the impetus behind my motion.
Joe, do you have any, or do you guys have, or Rob, any feel for the number of people pre-control date that haven't, that hold a license but have not actually? Right? So going back to Wayne and JC, I mean, not only do you have what you've got, you've also got the ability for 307 more people to be there.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So
never work.
I would like to get the committee's opinion on at least, I'm not saying take those licenses away forever, but at least for this season, consider making those licenses inactive.
What is that, pre-control date only?
No, it's pre-control date and post. It's basically anybody that holds a license and never used it so that they can't all pile in it this year just to.
And that was.
So we can examine
307 people.
307 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Added on to.
And that's not reporting one bushel of oysters harvested.
Right. I'm not for doing away with those licenses. I'm just for an inactive status while we're trying to figure this out.
Can the commission do that?
I certainly could agree to that.
Yeah.
I could too.
We're not taking them. We're just putting
this stuff. It would start January 1st.
Yeah. Yep.
But I mean, how would you go back and get them from these people if that they've already paid for them?
Well, wouldn't you do it through a non-report? I mean, I'm not going back and getting them. I'm just saying, if you haven't, if you held a license and you haven't reported prior to tonight, then it's inactive.
But then, how would you patrol for them in the field, you know, the law enforcement?
I don't know, but anything's better than not doing any. I mean, if some of them slip by, it's better than not.
Putting something like that in place with the park and everyone folks is
wouldn't be January, it'd be October.
Do anything for 2015.
Shit, when is it?
Tracking down these people, even if we sit here in our system, we make them inactive, they have a physical license, then they get a ticket. I can promise you in court, most of the judges would go, hey, wait a minute, you still have a physical license.
But if we had voted to remove those licenses, how would you go about that?
It wasn't going to start. That wasn't going to start.
Oh, you wouldn't make it till January 1. Okay.
What about the user fees? How many?
The what?
What about on user fees? I mean, has this 95 people, did they just buy a license?
They got a license. They had
and
the
user fees.
All the system is built around the user fee. You have to have the user fee first for it lets you get the license.
Well, irregardless, I completely concur with what you're saying, but I'd rather have it out there and let the judge throw it out than no ability at all. We've got tons of law enforcement nightmares. We can stay there all night. So,
well, we'd be passing something that we know is questionable legally, and I don't want to do that. For what?
So you were not.
So
really,
how are you?
I'm sorry, Tom. So if we were actually made a reduction percentage-wise in taking license, you wouldn't have done it this year anyway.
It would be January 1st.
So could we revisit things in January? I mean, instead of talking about doing a reduction in bushels this year on people, why don't we just revisit this in January and see how the season goes on?
So we've been here for 6 months discussing all of this, and we have no matrix to adjust this October through December season.
What?
So your concern can't be addressed, period.
Yep, exactly right.
It can be through bushel limits.
Bushel. Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible idea.
I agree, Dan.
I second.
Okay, any other
I know it don't fix the October through December problem, but I mean, you know, if what you proposed, if we went through with that, you know what would happen, you know, everybody would be reported from, you know, October on just to get your name on the reports. I mean, it sounds like if it has nothing to do to fix the October through December, would put you on a day the public citizen was, you know, if the reports ain't in by the day for that last day, that should go under an inactive license. I don't know if I'm clear or I don't know. But would that satisfy you? And like I said, I know it don't fix the October to December, but maybe it starts up through January.
Is that, I guess that's a question. I agree with you. It's a question of staff. Is that possible to establish that control date?
Uh-huh.
Is it possible to establish that control date on reporting?
Yeah, I mean the seasons have already passed, so yeah. You couldn't make up a harvest day where you could, but you'd have to check those out. But I mean, we could have that happen to the ones January 1st.
So basically, they could get that 95 people plus that two. They could get October through December, irregardless of how many they catch or whether they make false reports or whatever they do, they would be captured.
You could have them go away on January 1st.
It's done now. If you cut it by 75% right now, it'd be the only thing that wouldn't happen until
I don't understand.
I don't either.
So if no licenses were going to be this year taken away for October, what are y'all thinking?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are y'all? What are we gonna do? I mean, what do y'all want to do?
Yeah, February or whatever.
We have to start working on that now.
Well,
since we passed a motion for
status quo. Yeah.
That means
that's the recommendation of the committee, right?
Yeah. Bushel limits. That means bushel limits everything, right?
Yeah.
just, well, he's got to, his, what he just brought to attention, he had the emergency regulation that he could make if something just turned out to be horribly wrong in January. Is that correct? He could make an emergency regulation to go ahead and change things. Is that?
But you wouldn't take license away.
No license. Mm-hmm.
No, license no, but it would do, it would change.
Bushel limits is what he would do.
Yeah.
Staff will still have a recommendation.
I don't see any bushel limits.
Whether it's the same as this committee or not, a recommendation for the fall.
Reduce that.
Yeah. Posting. Yeah, go ahead.
So they got a forest here to set in August.
And in September, which no one likes because it's too close to the start of October 1, then you have the what came into you as effort control, which would have to be done by October to make it effective for December 1 because the agency sells licenses December 1. So for the next season.
Well, saying not turning the latent effort into effort. Yeah, I think that was the idea.
The ways you want to do it to maintain sort of the status quo or the baseline situation.
How come you couldn't send those 212 people a certified notice? It'd be the same fall that you'd have January 1 if you cut these 212 people. It's going to be the same. You're just postponing the fall out.
They've spent money on a license. They've already bought a user fee, which legally we cannot refund.
Mm-hmm.
The fallout is much different than if we do it prior to them spending those hard-earned dollars.
And go through a public hearing in the commission process. So that's the difference.
Regardless, pre- and post-control date.
Control date is just a marker in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to use that control date in other measures. So, for example, just to mention it again, the one thing you could look at, if you look at transferability, if you look at the transferability, you have 95 individuals who didn't do anything. So, you know, there's something where you could use that control date to ensure that they don't transfer. That's different than taking away the license completely by saying you don't have a license now, even though you bought one.
Yes, ma'am. Do you have a comment?
Yeah. On the areas that you're worried about being overworked, why can't you just in those areas have a limited entry draw for the people to work? That way you won't have 100 boats go in one place that you don't want them. They'll go where the areas can be worked, just like when you go hunting. They have draws that you have to put in for. These gentlemen live in an area that they're saying 100 boats work in that little teeny area is just not even a thought, but that's what happens. So why not have a limited entry draw? The people who aren't going to work, they're not going to draw. The people who work will actually get it because they're the ones that are going to be setting up 60 days prior and put in for the draw. Only allow a limited number that you think that it can sustain.
I don't think we can. It's not legal.
Pardon?
It's not legal.
It'll be the same situation.
If I could do a notice to do something like that, that's been talked about and hasn't been brought forward because it didn't look like it would be something that would be as good as other ideas, but it was talked about it early on. Just as Jim post notices to see who's going to dredge, you can have a cutoff date when you have to respond. Jim could say on the 70th
other questions, comments? Tommy? Nope.
It's getting complicated.
There nothing else? Staff, Jim, anybody?
I guess my motion would stand for January 1st. That's what we're talking about anyway, is to...
For the Layton effort. Second?
Second.
Everybody understand the motion?
No. What are the motion on this?
No.
So the motion is for the 95 licensed individuals that are post-control date that have not reported any harvest, plus the 212 individuals that are pre-control date that also reported no oyster harvest, would have a one-year freeze, or their licenses would become inactive for 1 year. That's the motion.
Beginning January 1st.
Beginning January 1st, 2016.
In the Hans Creek fishery.
Hans Creek, right.
In the Hans Creek fishery.
Is there a protectable or a number in the dredge fishery that also needs to be included?
In both fisheries.
Could I amend my motion to include hand scrape and dredge?
Is the second okay with that? Whoever it was?
Yes, I am okay.
Okay. All right, everybody got the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
I abstain.
One abstention. Any other motions or discussions? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned, 6:30.
Cool. It's been like watching the Washington Redskins.